Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Slam, wrestling myself, Supreet, and this is your AEW Rampage review for March 25th, 2022, and I'm joined by Abby Maniac here. So, Abby, what did you think about Rampage this week from Austin, Texas?
I have not seen Rampage for the past, I don't know how many weeks. So my judgment with regards to all the matches could be a little off, but nonetheless, this show was just another show. There was not enough investment from my side, and I didn't enjoy it as much as if I would like to compare it with this past week's Dynamite. Dynamite's first hour was fucking amazing in my opinion, and especially the opening bout between Dax Harwood and CM Punk.
But
what was your opinion with regards to this show?
Nothing much, your usual Rampage, but there were certain things that were different, kind of felt important. It also depends on the interest level also, but it was a fine show nonetheless, but we will talk about the entirety of the show. But before that, if you are new to Slam of Wrestling, then make sure to like, share, subscribe, do all that fun stuff, check out our other content. Links provided in the description below. So Rampage kicks off with, why am I blinking here? Yes, it was Dustin Rhodes versus Lance Archer. Kind of felt like a random match, like it came out of nowhere, like there was no big story or build to it. Like it was, they, you know, gave us a little backstory about these two men they have faced before on Dynamite, that too, in the peak pandemic era. I think it was one of those shows, by the way, it was actually they faced in the inaugural TNT Championship tournament where Archer beat Dustin Rhodes when they were trying to build to that finals against Cody Rhodes. So we are getting this match here, and we see Archer making his entrance first. He got hold of one of Dustin Rhodes' students and was about to massacre him, but from the back comes Dustin Rhodes for the save. So huge brawl from the get-go, and it was a little fine little match, you know, a typical horse fight with these two big men. And as I, you know, fast forward to the outcome, by the way, Dustin Rhodes looked really good in this match. And the finish saw what happened was initially Archer exposed one of the turnbuckles. And this was the story that was told in their first match when we saw exposed turnbuckle, you know, that story eliminated coming into the match. So this time it actually backfired, I guess. And this led to Dustin Rhodes getting a quick roll-up pin. And there you go. He beat Lance Archer. And Archer was frustrated post-match. And we see a beatdown on Dustin Rhodes. And we had a bunch of students from Dustin Rhodes Academy trying to save their, you know, teacher. But to no prevail. And there was one masked guy in those three students. And Jericho called him a giant-looking Fuego del Sol, and I completely lost it. So Archer drives Dustin Rhodes through a table, and there you go. I don't know what this is building towards, but that's what they opened up with Rampage. Give me your thoughts.
I would like to agree with your thoughts that it was just another match. It was put on the card. It was booked on Dynamite this past week. And I guess the only reason as to why this match was booked, probably in my opinion, was that it was Dustin's hometown, Austin, Texas. So that is why they booked it primarily.
You mean to say Dustin Rhodes was fighting for the honor of Texas?
Not pretty much, but you can say that just to give a showcase to the audience in the crowd. You know, You give the hometown guy some showcase, let him compete, which we also saw in the case of Ricky Starks in the main event. And I guess if I'm not wrong, isn't Lance Archer also from Texas?
Yes, sir. He is also from Texas. Hearn, Texas, I believe. I don't know where exactly that is. Maybe in the Dallas area.
So it was not very much, let's say, told upon by commentary in this match. I can understand because he was being, portrayed as a villain, as a heel in this match. So understandable. But nonetheless, it was booked via pre-taped backstage promo on Dynamite, and not very much invested in this match, like you said, absolutely. And the things that you pointed out with regards to their history, with regards to TNT Championship tournament, Excalibur pointed it out, and it was a bloodbath in that match. And in this match also, we saw a little bit of the, blood, so to speak, that initially Dustin got busted open via his ear, and post-match, he got busted open on the head. He got cut open, so to speak. And I guess if my memory serves me correctly, the last match on television of Lance Archer was against Hangman Adam Page for the World Championship, if I'm not wrong.
I think that's his last TV appearance.
Yes. So I guess this was a little step down. That was a fucking amazing match in my opinion. With Hangman Adam Page, even if the story, the premise of the match was a little shaky, and I was also not very much in touch with regards to the product at that time, but nonetheless I really enjoyed that match. But for this match, it was just another match. You can say it was entertaining, it was competitive, and nothing much. I see that this situation between Dustin and Lance Archer would be continuing. Let's see where it goes. But right now, I'm not very much invested in this match, in this story, to be quite honest.
Or is this leading towards the return of the American Nightmare back to AEW so that he can get his revenge? Okay, for just for his brother and beat Lance Archer only to sign his WWE contract. Imagine the heat. Can that happen?
I have no comments at this point. We saw a report, or we can say we read a report from the PW Insider. Basically it was from, if I'm not wrong, Mike Johnson. So he's a pretty legit, wrestling media journalist. So I believe that Cody Rhodes has signed at this point with WWE, so I do not see at this point that he would be, coming back on AEW television. I do not see that happening now.
Well, that means we have to wait for WrestleMania then.
Yes, yes. I would be watching that specifically, the match, which is being teased. That is basically Seth Rollins versus Cody Rhodes.
And
let's see.
And I'll be right here reviewing that entire show both nights. That's next week. As we move along with Rampage here, interview segment with Jay Lethal. And by the way, the interviewer was none other than DDP's daughter, Lexi Nair. Haven't
yes.
seen her for a while. and this is before the pandemic. So she's back here in AEW doing the interview stuff. So this was regarding Jay Lethal. He was talking about his last two blemishes on his record, like losing to Adam Cole, that was this week on Dynamite, and a couple of weeks ago on Rampage to Ricky Starks. They didn't mention the Sammy Guevara one, but he's just, you know, kind of was sarcastically smiling about it, saying he's not proud of it. He kind of said that guys like Adam Cole and Ricky Starks, are getting opportunities beating him, making more money than him, so he has to figure out stuff up and needs to, you know, find something better for his career. So there is something going on with Jay Lethal. Let's see where that goes. Anything you want to add?
Yes, it was a pretty, genuine promo, whatever he said. Looked legit, and he would be concerned, obviously, with the two losses, or you pointed out three losses. I read some comments on social media in the past week. Many people were, suggesting that Jay Lethal adopts his black machismo persona from Impact Wrestling or TNA wrestling again. So, given the, nature of AEW and their, executives, I would not be surprised if we see Jay Lethal adopting the black machismo persona soon and coming to television and getting in a, interesting storyline or interesting, persona, so to speak, that we are invested in and we look forward to. Let's see what happens.
I think that would eventually happen, and there's a reason he has two theme songs. One is a just kind of a generic, you could say, not much effort into that theme. I'm not like saying like Mikey Ruckus sucks. Like 99% AEW themes are solid, but this theme, it's not like that it sucks, like it's just there. But he also has another theme which is very black machismo-ish, so who knows. I think they eventually planned that when he got to AEW, so you could see that if you were seeing like that.
It could happen, and also, we saw him adopting the said persona, the aforementioned persona, on the All In show, which happened a few years ago. So it is very much possible that we see him adopting it on AEW television soon.
Let's see.
Probably
where that
we
goes.
Won't see him. Probably we won't see him. Adopting the said persona on Ring of Honor product, but we would probably see him doing the same on AEW.
Let's see where that goes. Fuego del Sol showed up for a promo here, talking about his the match from last week's Rampage. That was a trios match where he and Bear Country were facing House of Black. Said how we single-handedly, almost got rid of House of Black, and the crowd were chanting Fuego, and he was ready for a fight here, and writing on cue, lights go out, and we see House of Black slowly appearing one by one, and basically 3-1-1 beat down. Fuego absolutely didn't stand a chance, and he was taken down until Dark Order members decided to show up, went face to face. House of Black members were ready to fight, but Malakai Black became the peacemaker here. And this could be a program in the coming weeks. Dark Order versus House of Black should be good in terms of matches and all.
Mm-hmm. first of all, thanks for, sharing with regards to Fuego's history, the recent history with regards to House of Black. I was not aware. He did point out, with regards to the said stuff that, he took House of Black to the limit, he being Fuego del Sol individually, and called him out, like you said. They obliged and just massacred the guy. And with regards to House of Black and Dark Order, I don't know. The thing is that right now House of Black needs something, to have some presence on television, so it is good with regards to that. But Dark Order, I'm not a very big fan of the said faction, to be quite honest. Nonetheless, let's see.
Yeah, Dark Order, there is nothing much going on. And like there is something that they are trying to tell in terms of story. Some dissension between them and Hangman Page. I don't know what this leads towards, but as of right now, the entire group is kind of cold. Mostly cold.
And many a times, many wrestling experts, or I should say basically Jim Cornette, also pointed out with regards to that Hangman should distance himself with regards to Dark Order, that basically he's a world champion, so he should have a basic a stature or a aura to himself, and he should be presented as such, that he is a world champion and he's a legit guy, he is a threat to everybody on the roster, and he is number one. That it should appear that way. It should not look that he is just another guy on the roster and he's friends with some people who are not basically at this point relevant, I should say, on television. And this is not a, I'm not,
Knocking.
criticizing or saying that they are bad people or something like that. It is basically what it is. And they are not relevant at this point. They are joking around. They are comedy acts at various points, it seems. So right now, if Hangman Adam Page, wants to be showcased or wants to be, on television as a legit guy, as a legit champion, a world champion of a, I should say, worldwide promotion, so he should adopt the said, path, I should say.
Let's see where that goes, but as we move along, we had a little promo from Dan Lambert as they were accompanied, sorry, he was accompanied by Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. So Dan Lambert is the co-TNT champion while we have the OG TNT champion Scorpio Sky. So they were talking about the situation with the TNT championship. So, said that they really want to make the TNT Championship one of the prestigious belts in AEW. Ty Conti, Sammy Guevara says otherwise, but they said that in terms of challengers, there will be no more open challenges. Said if you have enough win, loss, whatever, then you are eligible to challenge for the TNT Championship. In simple, that the challenger needs to have a good resume, and there you go. So, yeah, kind of,
Yes.
like I'm really happy that Scorpio Sky really got a good payoff on that undefeated record that he was bragging about.
Agreed, agreed. The thing that he alluded to in this promo, like you said, that basically Scorpio Sky and his crew, that they said that no more open challenges. So I guess it is a good move. Hopefully it gives way to interesting and long-term stories and rivalries for the TV title, that is basically the TNT Championship. And the people are invested in this, championship and the stories and the rivalries. That it is not just another match being booked on, television, on Rampage or Dynamite, just being put there. That we have a backstage promo, and they have a war of words, and just a match is booked. This is not the case. We would see some, if we see long-term stories being panned out, and there is some, back and forth for weeks, and then we get the match. So people are invested in that. So we would be looking forward to watch that match. In the past few weeks or months, TNT Championship was just there. It was just there. That match being booked, and match happens, and next match happens next. There should be more investment from our side, and if we see stories, we see backstage segments, we see back and forth between all the stakeholders involved, it would be great. And you alluded to Guevara and Ty Conti. On Dynamite, they didn't look as good as they should. They being Guevara and Ty Conti, they felt like it. They need. They. I should say that they would be garnering heat very soon if they are not already at this point. And it would be a welcome move, I guess, with regards to Guevara and Ty Conti, with a quote-unquote heel turn.
That's
It would
why I
be
said,
fresh.
like when I was talking about this thing on the Dynamite review with Ridwan, like most people say they are giving off Cody Rhodes and Brandy vibes. I said they are giving off more of a Edge and Lita vibes, if you know what I mean.
Yes, agreed, agreed, agreed. And let's see where it goes. Basically, they didn't look as good on the mic, that is given. Guevara's, MO is basically his, in-ring stuff, where he, excels. And with regards to what he does with Ty Conti, with the social media game and everything, and putting down the audience, now he has, both the people have started it on online medium. We would probably see it on television very much soon. So it would be a welcome move. People would boo them when they are not good on the microphone, and the other people are, or their opponents are. So let's see where this goes.
Up next, Red Dragon versus Dark Order. This went 7 minutes. Was a really good match for that short amount of time. Good wrestling from Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, great technical wrestlers, and we had Alan Angels getting some shines, showing off his high flying moves. Dark number 10 of the Dark Order. He looked good as well with the power moves, and at the end we see I don't know what the finish was. Yes, it was them taking out 10 with the high low while finishing off number 5 with Chasing the Dragon. There you go, quick little win here, but good match, quick little victory for Red Dragon as they are being built up as the next in line for a tag team title shot. And we got a little teaser of that when we had Jurassic Express making a save when Red Dragon were continuing the assault on Dark Order members. So anytime now we would see that match. And by the way, Adam Cole decided to show up and steal the tag title belts, just like how we stole the world title from Adam Page this week on Dynamite. So there you go for story progression.
First of all, I would like to say that judging by the interaction between Red Dragon and FTR in the Casino Battle Royal a few weeks ago, I hope that these two teams collide at some point soon, hopefully at a pay-per-view. FTR is on the verge of a face turn, and Bret Hart might be joining the fray as their mentor. So I'm looking forward to that. And with regards to this, basically this match, you almost ran down everything. Red Dragon targeted the left knee of 10 Preston Vance, which was basically braced up, basically to neutralize the big guy. Great, great stuff from Red Dragon. Competitive match. But, the problem is the same. Not much investment from my side. There is not much to it. Not much substance to this right now. I don't know.
You're Could talking about the world title have... build or about the tag title situation?
No. Basically, Red Dragon versus Dark Order, this match, basically. I was not pretty much invested in this match. Good entertaining match, competitive match, but not much investment in from my side. So I was just, watching it like, it is just another match, and, expected Red Dragon to win, and Red Dragon won. And I was, a little surprised with regards to how much offense Dark Order got over Red Dragon. As you pointed out, that Red Dragon is on the verge of challenging for the tag team championship first. That is, the tag team champions at this point are Jurassic Express. So let's see. And Adam Cole stealing the tag championships for Red Dragon. It seems that they are going something somewhere with it, that stealing the championships of the baby faces. So let's see. It piques our interest being us as fans. So looking forward to it. I hope that it has some substance. I hope that the backstage segments or the promos or the pre-taped promos, whatever happens with regards to the next match, whenever all of these people collide, there is so much substance that we are invested and we look forward to watching this match. Basically, I would like to say it bluntly and outright that, the pay-per-view, this past pay-per-view, that was a revolution. I saw only a couple of matches that I was really interested in and I was really invested in. And first, I went out of my way to watch the Dog Collar match, MJF CM Punk. And I saw the last, 15 minutes of the World Championship match.
Did you watch Mox versus Brian?
Yes, I also saw that.
I would have been disappointed if you didn't watch that match. For me, it wasn't that good, but many people loved it.
These were the three matches. Yes.
Yeah, they're trying to build towards Battle of the Belts. So this time, those feuds that were kind of overlooked, I think towards the paper you would get some extra attention.
Right.
But as we move along, we hear a package, a video package, like basically a promo package involving Nyla Rose, Vicky Guerrero, saying, you know, talking about Thunder Rosa, how they interrupted her and kind of disrespected her, which was a kind of a, like you could say, mostly criticized segment this week on Dynamite. We also did that on the Dynamite review this week. And basically, they are trying to tell this via a storyline here on TV. And this was a good transition towards Nyla Rose versus Maddie Rinkowski. Lasted about 42 seconds. And there you go, Beast Bomb 1, 2, 3. We are done. And by the way, Maddie Rinkowski was said that she is a student of Thunder Rosa. And I believe she is also a student of Dustin Rhodes. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But there you go, man.
Could be. You know, with regards to this match, you said that with regards to this, that you know, Nyla, it seems that right now is hopefully next in line to challenge Thunder Rosa for this title. It would be a transitional feud, where basically, you know, Thunder Rosa gets her hands, you know, in a big story. Next, we would have to see when it happens. But right now, it seems like a transitional feud. You know, typical babyface Thunder Rosa, typical heel Nyla Rose, and with Vicky Guerrero, it just, you know, amps up the heel quotient of Nyla Rose, and all of this got in motion on Dynamite. Like you said, heels don't need a reason to be pissed off, I guess, it seems. And Nyla Rose, like you indicated in her pre-tape promo, she said that she won the title in this very building where Rampage was happening and also Dynamite happened, the HEB Center. She defeated Riho. So, it was something there, and basically a squash match. Beast Bomb 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, there you go. And I don't know, man. They should do better job of building these feuds. And don't tell me that they're going to have a match and Thunder Rosa is going to easily beat Nyla Rose.
It seems that way, and I would like to agree that they should do a better job with regards to getting us invested. And but it seems that way, that whenever these two ladies are going to collide in the near future, I guess probably in 2 to 3 weeks, Thunder Rosa would be winning and retaining and legitimizing herself as the new champion. And I would like to just, you know, say this is, you know, I'm not someone's financial advisor or investment manager or finance manager of any company, but I would like to say that what is the need of giving a new championship every time a new champion is crowned? I do not get that. You know, Britt Baker won the championship.
You're talking about the brand new women's championship, right?
Yes, precisely. There was no need, in my opinion.
Oh, come on, maybe. Every time. I get your point that we didn't needed it. Like, when they initially announced, you know, revealed that original design, it was way too tiny. So the design almost was a flop. They kind of reintroduced a new design when we were going towards Britt Baker going to be the new champion for, I think it was last year's Double or Nothing. So kind of a bigger version, but the same design. It was fine then. And all of a sudden, we get a upgraded version. looks like a correct size for what a championship belt should be, and it looks great, by the way.
No. Yes, it looks great. I would like to agree, absolutely. But with regards to, first of all, the size aspect, you are saying, if you have seen, or if you, I would like to say that you would be knowing with regards to the NWA World Championship. You know its size,
It's a simple looking
if
belt.
I'm not wrong. Yes, and its size is smaller if you compare it with the likes of the championships which WWE has, the big championships which have the WWE logo heavily showcased in the middle. NWA championship, the championship, any championship, gets its reputation, or it gets its legitimacy from its lineage. It doesn't get its legitimacy from the way that it looks, in my opinion. The smaller championship, good. It was good. It was decent enough. Yes, they upgraded it with regards to, like you said, with when Britt Baker was crowned the new champion. They, this, and then they went once again with the new championship. Now, it feels like unnecessary expenditure, in my opinion. But they could have, been with the Britt Baker design. The design is not, you can say, attached with a certain individual. It is attached with regards to the lineage and the thing that it represents, in my opinion. That is the women's division, and your world championship is there. But nonetheless, Tony Khan likes to spend money with regards to this stuff. Go all aboard. I'm not someone to say him that no, don't do it, but it felt like unnecessary expenditure. That's all.
Looks like Tony Khan. That's the reason he's a big AWA guy. So that's the influence why the men's and women's world title look a certain way. But nonetheless, as we move along with the
Yes.
Rampage, so we had QT Marshall and Aaron Solo in the ring. So they were about to honor Hook, the Crook, with the certificate of accomplishment from QT Marshall. So Hook comes out, huge reaction like always, and said that it's not like when a trainer's student, surpasses him, there is certain jealousy. So nothing like here. He's actually proud of Hook, something like that. And he awards him this giant ass looking plaque that was the certificate of accomplishment. So Hook was allowed to have a nice little look of this plaque. So what happened was, QT Marshall was just revealing the plaque here, and Hook was having a little nice little look of the plaque. So what happened was, he just grabbed Aaron Solo and drove his head through the said plaque, and there you go, and just walked off. And while he was about to go to the tunnels, he was greeted by that Danhausen, another huge reaction, and basically time stood still, Abby, as he Danhausen tried to curse Hook, but no prevail. It didn't work. Hook just left, and we had a confused look on Danhausen. So that's the entire thing that happened here in Rampage. And with the involvement of Danhausen, I don't know where this goes. Maybe another transitional feud for Hook. Maybe he goes with the best friends, and especially Orange Cassidy. Is that something you could see? And I kind of pitched it a while back.
Right now, I cannot comment on that. You know, I have not been in touch with regards to the Rampage product, so I cannot say anything, in quite deep detail with regards to this. So I would like to ask that, this match between QT Marshall and Hook happened on the pay-per-view in the kickoff show.
Yeah, it did happen.
And what happened in the set match?
5 to 6 minutes.
Aware of that.
This match went 5 to 6 minutes. Was a very good hook match, and there you go.
All right. All right. So this certificate was basically for that.
Yep.
This segment was just you can see another segment and what all transpired in this segment. We can expect that the situation between QT Marshall and Hook is to be continued, and what happens with the Danhausen thing, which you are pointing out to, I do not know. Like I said, that I would like to say that it was just a one-off, like I said, it seems. But if there is much more to it, let's see what happens.
Let's see indeed. But as we move along with the main event, we have Ricky Starks, Shane Strickland, Swerve Strickland by the way, in the split screen side by side interview with Mark Henry. They were exchanging words. Ricky Starks said the last time Strickland was had a house, he got ejected from it, and that was a little cheap shot to Swerve. And at the end, both men really got in an argument, and Mark Henry was getting a little pissed, just basically saying just to stop, be quiet, and then he quickly transitions into this time, it's time for the main event, etc., etc. So we get Ricky Starks versus Shane Strickland, Swerve Strickland, by the way. I don't know why I call Shane Strickland, for the FTW Championship. And we had a bunch of goons of Ricky Starks, and like there were three guys who were holding a huge orange banner of Ricky Starks, cheering on from the commentary side. And basically, Taz explained that one of them was a cobbler, the other was a barber, and I don't know what the third guy was. Do you remember?
I guess he was his nutritionist.
Oh, interesting. So that was a good little detail from Taz. So this match happened, and even for a taped episode, we had a hot crowd for these two guys here. Like, crowd super into both Swerve and Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks, especially being from Austin, Texas. And they didn't boo Strickland here because kind of a charismatic guy, and they like to chant "Who's House, Swerve's House," etc. And really good match here on Rampage, little back and forth here. And this went about 11 minutes. We had Strickland escaping the Rochambeau, which is Ricky Starks' finisher, and a bunch of cool moves from Ricky Starks as well. Like, he usually bursts out, like, he's not a high flyer. You may expect that he's a tiny little guy, maybe high flyer, but it turns out he's a could say a scientific wrestler, which is great. So as Swerve was building up some momentum, and by the way, he hit a running shooting star press from the apron, and we have heard a "This is awesome" chant from the crowd. Was it piped in or original? I don't know. I think there was some distraction going on where Swerve was outside, and out of nowhere, Powerhouse Hobbs shows up and just runs him over. So Swerve was sent back into the ring, and Ricky Starks finally hits the Rochambeau for the 1-2-3 still FTW champion. So post-match celebration going on with Hobbs, Starks, and especially Starks' goons. So what happened was, Starks' goons were all three guys were standing there ringside with a giant ass banner as it was facing the camera, and all of a sudden the third guy was actually sent through the huge ass banner, and it was revealed to be Keith Lee making a dramatic appearance here on Rampage. He gets rid of the goons, and we for a second we had a 2-on-1 beatdown on Keith Lee from Starks and Hobbs, but we have Swerve coming in to even up the odds. Huge brawl as we see officials coming out, and there you go. That's how Rampage went up the air. So give me your thoughts on the match, the post-match angle, and especially Swerve Strickland so far here in AEW, because I think this guy is really good in the ring, but he's also charismatic, by the way. Really good on the mic, has a little presence to him. So give me your thoughts.
With regards to Swerve Strickland, I would like to say that I first of all, I have said it multiple times on this review that I have not seen it Rampage for the past few weeks, so I have not been aware with regards to Swerve's stuff on Rampage. I have been little bit aware with regards to that. There was some stuff with regards to Keith Lee, which we saw that Keith Lee and Swerve are planning to be a unit or a tag team, or they are friends and they are teaming up against the odds of the FTW group. That is basically Powerhouse Hobbs and Ricky Starks. And with regards to Swerve, the stuff which I saw this week, I would like to agree with your thoughts that he has a presence, he gets the crowd, crowd is into him, crowd chants for him, he has the charisma, so, and he does the the ring stuff, the lucha stuff. So he feels like he can be a great asset to AEW television. Let's see where he goes. And also he was previously on WWE's banner, under WWE's banner, so I suppose that he might have learned a lot with regards to how to showcase yourself and portray yourself on television, and many things that he was not aware prior to joining WWE when he was on the indie circuit. And so I suppose that he has learned a lot and he is now matured a lot. So I would like to say that he would be a great asset to AEW, and let's see where Swerve Strickland goes, and where his journey takes him, and how much the people are invested in the guy. And with regards to this match, you know, pointed out with regards to the crowd was 50-50, in support of both the guys, and it was Starks' hometown nonetheless. Swerve won on his debut against the premier athlete Tony Nese. Tony was also on, I would like to say, under the WWE banner, so it was a great, debut. It would have been a great debut for Swerve, in my opinion. And this match was very, competitive and very entertaining. I really enjoyed the match. And Starks won via pinfall with Powerhouse Hobbs's assist, and at the end, a brawl between all the four guys concluded the broadcast. So let's see where this goes. And how much are you invested in this program between Keith Lee, Swerve, and FTW? Because I would like to know that where is this stemming from, and what is the history with regards to all these four guys?
Basically, the gist is Ricky Starks is sick. I think he even mentioned on this promo that he's sick of, this newcomers coming into AEW. So who are the newcomers right here by default? Keith Lee and Swerve. So initially, he had problems with Keith Lee, which started after the Face of the Revolution ladder match. So then we see Swerve joining in with Keith Lee, and we are standing at this point with these four guys. Maybe they could blow off in a tag team match, a bunch of singles match. So that's where they are heading towards.
All right, and it's good. And with regards to how much they have invested and how much they have, told us with regards to the story between the two groups, are you impressed, and are you invested enough in this program?
Nothing much, nothing less. It's a good, you could say, mid-card view.
A neutral rating from your side right now, not very much
To
invested.
be precise, yes.
All right.
That's regarding
All
that, Abby,
right.
but a bunch of things I forgot to mention here on Rampage that kind of went under the radar. So, by the way, the sports entertainer Chris Jericho named Nyla Rose the sports entertainer of the week, which was a thing I think he will be doing every week on Rampage. And when they were talking about the upcoming matches on Dynamite, they announced that they are starting the women's Owen Hart Cup tournament matches, and one of those matches will be, I don't know who the opponent was. Do you remember who they announced?
They announced the bunny versus someone, they just,
Unknown.
they drew a blank. They said that someone would be debuting. They just said that. Nothing much. But I guess yesterday or the day before, Tony Khan on some podcast, he said that we would be teasing or we would be announcing a women's talent on Rampage, so please tune in. But there was nothing there. No one was announced. Nothing was teased
So we have to
substantially,
wait till
in my
Dynamite.
opinion. It seems so. And I would like to know that with regards to this Women's Cup, are they going with a women's and a men's only, or they are going with their tag teams as well?
No, just men's and a women's one. It was announced when they initially introduce the Owen Hart Cup, that both women and men are getting it. So this finals will be happening at Double or Nothing. And
All right. It was yes.
that means we are not getting Filler Dynamite till Double or Nothing, which is great.
I see. I was only, asking with regards to a tag team variant, with regards to this cup, because with the rumors of Bret Hart coming to the fray with regards to FTR's being FTR's mentor, so I guess that it could have led to that FTR winning the Owen Hart Tag Team Cup with Bret Hart. So that was the only reason I was wanting to know. So nonetheless, a men's and women's cup is pretty good. It's pretty amazing. Looking forward to it.
And I believe this upcoming talent, the new debutant, I think it's going to be Athena, the former Ember Moon. Like, she has been having some words with Jade Cargill on Twitter, so who knows, will this lead towards television? So that's a could say first round pick for who could show up. Other than that, there are a bunch of free agents out there. Tony Storm, I don't know, not right now. She's I think she'll become a millionaire by the end of April thanks to her OnlyFans, but she will end up in AEW. I think that's a no-brainer. And it's great that the women's sides of new talents will be riling up here in AEW. I think the men's sides is we saw huge names popping out last year, and it's starting this year also. So it's about time the women also got some shine. I think we
Yes, absolutely.
like there are
Agreed.
great women already on this roster. We need some certain big names out there.
Agreed. Agreed. We also alluded to the said fact in one of our past reviews that, it is time, it is higher time that Tony Khan invests in the women's division and gets some big names and some legit names on his roster with regards to the women's division. So let's see. Ember Moon is absolutely a great talent. So looking forward to it. If Athena or Ember Moon enters the fray, and the other names, they are still there. The Taya Valkyrie and the other ladies. There are many ladies, on the free agent market. But let's see what happens. The stuff with regards to friendships with the EVPs plays a huge role with regards to getting a job or getting an employment or getting to work with AEW. It is pretty apparent.
It's not going to
We have
be,
seen.
yeah, it's not going
Yes,
to
please.
be Tessa Blanchard, by the way.
Yes, absolutely. Agree.
Let's see. It could be anyone. So I think it would be a big enough name, perfect for the billing. But as we quickly wrap this up, give me your quick thoughts on next week, man. Like WrestleMania weekend, AEW has a presence over there. In Dallas, Texas, with ROH Super Card of Honor under the regime of Tony Khan. That's something I'm really looking forward to. Like, I'm skipping the other shows, even Rampage, by the way, and watching that show that day. So, are you, are, is this show piquing your interest? Will you be checking out?
I guess I would be checking out basically at this point. I am thinking about checking out FTR versus the Briscoes at this point. I don't know if any other match, you know, piques my interest so much that I would go out of my way, I guess. But let's see, there is much time, and I would, you know, be scouring social media. So if there are, you know, other matches which pique my interest, I would definitely check them out as well. Absolutely.
I would recommend.
Yes, please.
Definitely will recommend you Bandido versus Jonathan Gresham.
It seems interesting. I can check that out.
And Tony Khan has promised that this is not going to be a throwaway show. Something big could happen. So basically, he has told us just to keep an eye on it and don't just, you know, skip this show to watch another show that same week.
Right. So right now you have given me and two matches to watch right now.
Basically, keep an eye on for that entire show.
All right.
But there you go. That was Super Card of Honor, and maybe I'm also recommending you to also keep an eye on WrestleMania, not to watch the entire show or anything. Just to keep an eye on if a certain American Nightmare shows up.
Yes, absolutely.
So as we quick, you were saying.
Yeah, nothing. I was just only saying that people have talked about and they have been raving about Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. So if I don't know at this point that I would be checking it out, but let's see. But if Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes is happening, or if it takes place, I would definitely be checking that out.
And on that note, Abby, as we leave, where can you guys find?
Yes, guys, you can connect with me on Instagram and Twitter at Abbymaniac, AbbyManiac, and you can also connect with me on Facebook and LinkedIn as well.
And you can find Slam of Wrestling on Twitter at Slam of W, Instagram at Slam of Wrestling. You can catch this review on Anchor, Spotify, and the Ghana app as well. This was the AEW Rampage review, and see you guys next time.